Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 10th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden is in England for his first overseas trip since taking office.
The White House makes plans to share 500 million doses of Pfizer's vaccine internationally.
The U.S. and China agree to push forward on trade and investment links.
And Elizabeth Warren calls for oversight of the cryptocurrency market.
Vaccination rates in some New Jersey towns are lagging, while New York City COVID rates are at all-time lows. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports. The Islanders beat the Bruins, advanced to the conference finals. Blowout win for the Mets in Baltimore. The Yankees held on to win in Minnesota.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And S&P futures are little changed this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 2 points. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is down less than 0.1%. CAC in Paris down 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong, little changed. 10-year Treasury down 136. Second yield 1.49%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil little changed at $69.98 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $11.20 at $18.84.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2166 against the dollar. The yen 109.49. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Biden's first overseas trip since taking office. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons kicks off our global team coverage from the 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden says during this 8-day trip, he wants to reestablish the U.S. relationship with our allies. His first stop, meeting with our troops in the United Kingdom.
We're going to make it clear that the United States is back and democracies of the world are standing together to tackle the toughest challenges and the issues that matter most to our future.
Biden will cover 3 countries and meet with leaders of the Group of 7, NATO, and European Union. He'll wrap things up with a conversation with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
To let him know what I want him to know.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Today, President Biden meets with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The leaders will commit to resume travel between the two countries as soon as possible. And Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker continues our team coverage from London.
The two leaders are creating a joint task force to explore options. How soon travel can actually resume, though, remains an open question. There are signs that a fresh COVID wave is starting to hit the UK, despite high vaccination rates here. Biden's national security adviser downplayed the chances of travel opening up soon. Before the pandemic, more than 5 million Brits visited the US and over 4.5 million Americans came here every year. In London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Caroline, thanks. Now, on this trip, President Biden also plans a major announcement when it comes to the global fight against the pandemic. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. plans to buy 500 million doses of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine to share internationally. It's part of an upcoming campaign with G7 leaders to end the pandemic by distributing shots worldwide. And Bloomberg News has learned that President Biden and other G7 leaders will pledge to deliver at least 1 billion extra doses of vaccines over the next year to help cover 80% of the world's adult population. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. There's also major developments this morning when it comes to U.S.-China relations. The countries have agreed to push forward links on trade and investment. And we get the latest from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
China's Commerce Minister Wang Wentao and his U.S. counterpart Gina Raimondo agreed to, quote, pragmatic cooperation in trade and investment. It was the third call between senior officials in recent weeks after China's Vice Premier Liu He spoke with U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. But major headwinds persist. Tai has talked about a, quote, significant imbalance in the trade relationship with China. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Tom. Back here in the U.S., one prominent lawmaker is speaking out on the Bitcoin frenzy. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren says the U.S. government needs to step up oversight of the cryptocurrency market.
Bitcoin and Dogecoin, it's a wild west out there, and it makes it not a good way to buy and sell things, and not a good investment, and an environmental disaster. So do we need some regulation around this? You bet we do.
Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Joe Weisenthal. She stopped short of suggesting specific regulations on the crypto markets.
We move from Bitcoin to meme stocks now with several new developments on GameStop. Shares are down 8% in early trading on news of an SEC investigation. At the same time, GameStop is tapping a pair of Amazon executives to lead its turnaround effort. And we get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is part of a drive to convert the brick-and-mortar chain into an e-commerce powerhouse. Matt Furlong, who oversaw Amazon's Australian business, will become CEO of GameStop, while fellow Amazon veteran Mike Recupero will serve as chief financial officer. GameStop also disclosed an investigation by the SEC into recent trading activity. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. On the economic front, we get a key reading on inflation later this morning with the Consumer Price Index. Economists forecast an increase of 0.4% in May. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
A surprisingly strong April CPI report raised concerns about persistent inflation and Fed policy. Today's May report may keep those concerns alive. Base effects are still in play, a statistical rebound from depressed prices last year, and supply chain pressures will be at or near their peaks, with prices rising to compensate for product shortages and more expensive labor. Still, Fed officials are likely to continue to view the inflation uptick as temporary, although it will be a discussion at next week's policy meeting. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And in Europe today, we'll get a policy decision from the European Central Bank. Investors will be looking at whether the ECB maintains a higher pace of emergency asset purchases, and that decision comes at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Again, S&P futures little changed, up less than 2 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. The Biden administration expecting a new infrastructure proposal this week from a bipartisan group of lawmakers. The group of senators, including at least five Democrats and more Republicans, has decided against using corporate or individual income tax increases to pay for the infrastructure plan. There are still differences on how much to spend and how to pay for it. New York City mayoral hopeful Maya Wiley has picked up one of the last coveted endorsements ahead of the June 22nd Democratic primary. Public advocate Jumaane Williams says he's been hesitant to make an endorsement because of his position as a public advocate, but pledged to hold Wiley accountable for her promises. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the number of new coronavirus infections is down in the city, and he credits vaccinations, but says it is still too soon to say that herd immunity has been reached.
The notion of herd immunity is sort of a panacea, if you will, or a perfect answer. I think that's a little elusive, but I think the elements we need to achieve a full comeback are here and are coming together.
Mayor de Blasio says the city is on the right track, but needs to build that vaccination effort. Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York will hit a 70% adult vaccination rate early. He says the current rate is 69.1%. That's less than 1% from what he says in his words is liberation. And Governor Phil Murphy says vaccination rates in New Jersey are lagging in some larger towns.
We remain focused on bringing up the numbers in some communities which continue to lag, and equity continues to be a big obsession with us.
Governor Murphy says more than 4.25 million people are fully vaccinated in the state, but some large cities are still less than 50% vaccinated, including Phillipsburg, Pemberton, East Orange, and Camden. Attorney General Merrick Garland says he's very concerned about cyber ransomware attacks.
This is getting worse and worse, and we have to do everything we possibly can here. This is a very, very serious threat.
Attorney General Garland telling a Senate hearing that the Justice Department is now ramping up efforts to deal with those ransomware attacks. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stenshire.
Good morning, Nathan. It was conceivable that last night could have been the last time the Islanders ever played a game at venerable Nassau Coliseum. Had they lost and then lost Game 7 in Boston, they're moving to the new UBS Arena next season. But that didn't happen. The Islanders with a three-goal second period, two by Brock Nelson, a couple of empty netters in the final minute. They beat the Bruins in Game 6. 6-2. They won the series 4-2. Their coach is Barry Trotz.
We recognize this is a special moment for this building, and guys understood the magnitude of this game, the importance of the game, and this is a group that's very easy to, you don't have to say too many things.
Over the last four seasons, Trotz has coached in 11 playoff series. He's won 9 of them. One of the losses was to Tampa Bay in the conference finals a year ago. Same two teams will meet again. NBA playoffs, Phoenix by 25 over Denver for a 2-0 series lead. Nets and Bucks, Game 3 tonight in Milwaukee. James Harden will again not play. Laffer for the Mets in Baltimore. They hit 6 home runs, 2 by Kevin Pillar, 2 by Billy McKinney. They beat the Orioles 14-1. Yankees built up a 9-2 lead, then held on in the ninth inning to win at Minnesota 9-6. Giancarlo Stanton out of his slump. He hit 2 home runs. Aaron Judge went yard, so did Miguel and Duhar. Plenty of run support for Gerrit Cole. At Giants offseason practice, Saquon Barkley said there's no timetable for his return from his knee injury. Women's semifinals today at the French Open, and then the men go tomorrow. Rafael Nadal will play Novak Djokovic for the 58th time. Djokovic leads the series 29-28. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures up 1.5. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures are lower right now, down 25 points or 0.2%. London's FTSE higher by 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield now 1.49%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.15% ahead of the release of the latest consumer price index data. And as Boris Johnson gets set to meet with President Biden face-to-face for the first time, we check in live next with Bloomberg's Guy Johnson in Cornwall. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly sunny, low 80s today. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, low 70s. Upper 70s, partly sunny for Saturday. Warm start in Central Park, 77 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and government bonds are steady ahead of a U.S. inflation report that may provide clues on the monetary policy outlook. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures up 41. NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury down 1/32. Yield 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $69.98 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.30 at $18.84.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2170 against the dollar. British pound 1.4092. The yen's at 109.47. And the consumer price index is out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the weekly report on initial jobless claims. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, President Biden is preparing to meet with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson for the first time ahead of the Group of Seven summit, where world leaders will discuss COVID, China, and climate change. The Keystone XL oil pipeline project is dead. The company had already suspended construction earlier this year after President Biden revoked a presidential permit for the project. The world's largest meatpacking processing company says it paid the equivalent of $11 million to hackers who broke into its computer system. It's the first time JBS's U.S. division confirmed it paid that ransom. And in sports, the Islanders advance to the Stanley Cup semifinals. In the NBA playoffs, the Phoenix wins, the Nets and Bucks play tonight. In baseball, the Mets hammer the O's, the Yankees and Nats win, the Giants and Red Sox lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it's 10:19 in Cornwall, England, where leaders are convening for this weekend's G7 summit. And, of course, President Biden getting ready for his first face-to-face meeting with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Let's head live to Cornwall now. Check in with Bloomberg's Guy Johnson. Guy, good morning. If you could set the scene for us, what are the expectations heading in?
Nathan, good morning. Yeah, we're going to have a meeting between Boris Johnson and the president. That is going to take place at around 10:30 a.m. Eastern time this morning, 3:30 over here in the UK. It's basically the scene setter for the summit. Boris Johnson is the host. Joe Biden, the president of the United States, flying into the UK yesterday, arriving at an airbase, then being choppered down here late last night. He'll be waking up this morning to an improving weather situation. Let's hope that's sets the scene for the G7. They're expected to talk about what is happening with the COVID story. There is this expectation, and that looks like it's going to be there in the final communique, that we are going to see Joe Biden leading a charge basically to vaccinate the world. 80% of the population by the end of next year, deliver around a billion vaccines. That is a huge step forward and gives the G7 certainly something to take away from this summit.
Yeah, the words we keep hearing, you could almost call it the three C's, COVID, China, and yep. climate change. Is that basically the overarching agenda here? Are we expecting any surprises, perhaps?
I think where you may see some surprises is that the Europeans, and by that I mean the Germans, the Italians, and the French may not be quite on the same page when it comes to China, one of those C's. The view from Europe is that we don't want to be seeing China as an adversary. We want to try and work a deal with China to find a way through. The line out of Europe has hardened recently, but I don't think there's going to be a complete unanimity on that front. I think on climate as well, it'll be interesting to see exactly where the Europeans stand and where the US stand and whether or not we can get a meeting of minds there. On COVID, I think probably everybody is on the same page. Though there is frustration, Nathan, in Europe. The Europeans see themselves as having played a sort of clearer line on COVID, delivering vaccines around the world when the US was hoarding them. Now a sense of frustration maybe that Joe Biden, with the US population now largely vaccinated, is finally sort of stepping up to the plate on that one. So a little bit of frustration maybe from the Europeans there.
When you talk about some of these potential friction points, Guy, it gets to a central question about the U.S. sort of reasserting itself as a central player on the global stage. What are some of the challenges that President Biden could face there, particularly after the last 4 years of the U.S. relationship with Europe under former President Trump?
Well, I think the expectation is that Joe Biden has arrived here in Europe to deliver a message that the U.S. is back. It wants to put the last 4 years behind it, and it wants to build a coalition of democracies. And that, I think, is what Joe Biden sees this G7 meeting being about. He wants to build a coalition of democracies that can then stand up to the autocracies. Remember that he is going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin next week. He wants to push back against China. So he's here to try and provide that leadership, to try and get democracies back on the same page. But Europe does want to have its voice heard in a way that it didn't before. It doesn't necessarily automatically accept US leadership. So it'll be interesting again to see whether or not there are frictions that do develop as a result of Joe Biden's push. But he certainly sees the US as being back. He is a foreign policy specialist. He's largely had to deal with domestic policy thus far. He wants to now focus on foreign policy and deliver it in a way that works for the U.S. population.
Now, of course, the focus today will be President Biden meeting Boris Johnson for the first time, obviously, two very different leaders. And there's already been a bit of tension, I think you could say, when it comes to how Boris Johnson has dealt with Northern Ireland. The president has been critical of Boris Johnson over that.
So the UK papers this morning were full of this idea that we're going to see some sort of formal diplomatic rebuke being delivered by the US delegation. That is now being rowed back very quickly. The US delegation is saying that is not the case. Joe Biden is very keen to make sure, and the US is basically the ultimate guarantor of the Good Friday Peace Agreement, to make sure that that is honoured. But it is unlikely that we're going to see this kind of official rebuke. It is unlikely we're going to see some sort of criticism of Brexit from Joe Biden. If you think about what we were just talking about, Joe Biden wants to come here and try and deliver unanimity. He wants to try and get everybody on the same page. Coming here and basically issuing a rebuke to your host may not be the best way of achieving that.
Guy Johnson, thank you for joining us this morning. Bloomberg's Guy Johnson, looking forward to your coverage of the G7 in Cornwall, England. And Guy will be back with us at this same time tomorrow morning as the G7 summit gets underway in Cornwall. Looking ahead to the market open on Wall Street this morning, S&P futures little change, Dow futures up 42 points, NASDAQ futures down 32 points, and the 10-year Treasury yield 1.49%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly sunny, low 80s today. Nice weather shaping up here, actually. Tomorrow, low 70s, upper 70s for Saturday. 72 right now in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden is spending his first full day overseas since taking office. He meets with U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson before attending tomorrow's G7 summit. And Bloomberg's Guy Johnson has more from Cornwall, England.
There's going to be a meeting today between Boris Johnson and Joe Biden. I think there we're going to look for maybe a commitment to reopen the North Atlantic routes when it comes to travel. Then there is the issue of Brexit. How far will the US be prepared to step in to what is happening in Northern Ireland at the moment? And China is going to be a huge feature of the landscape here at the G7. Think about the three C's. It's going to be COVID, it's going to be climate, and it's going to be China.
Bloomberg's Guy Johnson reports that a draft communique seen by Bloomberg shows G7 countries setting goals for climate finance and asking for a new study on the origin of COVID-19.
President Biden also plans a major announcement when it comes to the global fight against the pandemic. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita?
Nathan, the U.S. plans to buy 500 million doses of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine to share internationally. It's part of an upcoming campaign with G7 leaders to end the pandemic by distributing shots worldwide. And Bloomberg News has learned that President Biden and other G7 leaders will pledge to deliver at least 1 billion extra doses of vaccines over the next year to help cover 80% of the world's adult population. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. U.S.-China relations are also in focus this morning. The two countries have agreed to push forward on trade and investment links. It was the first call between the U.S. and China's commerce ministers since the start of the Biden administration.
On the economic front, we get a key reading on inflation. 3 hours from now, the economists forecast an increase of 0.4% for May's consumer price index. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says today's U.S. inflation report could test 5% on a year-over-year basis, the highest in more than a decade. Vaccinated Americans are out and about and paying up, a textbook case of supply and demand. Transport delays coming out of the pandemic are aggravating the situation. The jury is out on the outlook, though key economic officials say it's transitory, a reflection of the U.S. recovery. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thank you. And in corporate news this morning, shares of GameStop are down more than 6% in early trading. The video game retailer said U.S. securities regulators are looking into the trading of its shares. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's find out what's going on in New York and around the world from Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Amy?
Nathan, a bipartisan group of lawmakers now working on a new infrastructure proposal to present to President Biden, perhaps as early as this week. The group has decided against using corporate or individual income tax increases to pay for that plan. There are still differences on how much to spend and how to pay for it. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the number of new coronavirus infections is down in the city, and he credits vaccines.
COVID numbers are going down consistently. Why? First and foremost, vaccination. And we're at a very high level of vaccination now. and growing literally every day.
Mayor de Blasio stopped short of saying the city had reached herd immunity. All New York State mass vaccination sites are now open to eligible New Yorkers for walk-in vaccination on a first-come, first-served basis. State health officials are encouraging vaccine providers to allow walk-in appointments for eligible New Yorkers. Renters are piling into Manhattan. The number of new leases jumped more than fourfold last month from a year ago, according to a report by appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. It's the most new signings for any month in data going back to 2008. Nearly 60% of those who committed to a lease last month in Manhattan opted for a two-year agreement. It's a sign consumers are making longer-term plans to stay. Law enforcement agencies in New Jersey have been given a 60-day deadline to start releasing police disciplinary records. This, 2 days after the state's Supreme Court upheld a June 2020 directive, ordering the release of the records amid calls for more police accountability after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Attorney General Merrick Garland is concerned about cyber ransomware attacks, telling a Senate hearing the Justice Department is ramping up its efforts.
The Justice Department has stood up its own cybersecurity task force and particularly focusing on ransomware, and this has to be a constant focus.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says the problem's getting worse and, in his words, is a, quote, very, very serious threat. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Amy, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Islanders went 27 years without getting to the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. They went last year, but their fans were not able to see that in person last night at the Coliseum.
Here's a break for Nelson. In alone. Shoots. He scores!
WEPN. Later second period, Nelson scored again. Isles sealed a 6-2 win over Boston with two empty net goals. They won three straight from the Bruins, took the series 4-2, setting up a rematch with Tampa Bay, who took the Islanders out in the conference final last year. Phoenix Suns, an impressive 25-point rout of Denver for a 2-0 lead. Nets are up 2-0 on the Bucks. Game 3 tonight in Milwaukee. Mets and Yankees combined for 10 home runs. The Mets hit 6. A 14-1 rout in Baltimore. A Pete Alonso shot first inning, then five home runs from guys that did not figure prominently in the Mets' plans. They just got Billy McKinney from Milwaukee. He homered twice. So did Kevin Pillar. Mason Williams homered in the ninth. Taijuan Walker got the win. Yankees won 9-6 at Minnesota. Twins made it interesting with four runs in the ninth inning. Giancarlo Stanton, so hot a month ago, and then he got hurt and was struggling. But Stanton with two home runs and a double. Five hits for Stanton the last two nights. Aaron Judge's 15th home run, and Miguel Andujar hit his fifth in the last eight games. Yanks have 40 hits in their last three games. In Paris, Rafael Nadal lost a set, first time in 2 years, but improved his career French Open match record to 101 wins, two losses. He'll play Novak Djokovic in tomorrow's semifinals. The women's semis are today. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Renters are piling into Manhattan, and they're planning to stay for a while. In May, the number of new leases jumped more than fourfold from a year earlier to nearly 9,500, according to appraiser Miller Samuel in brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. That's the most new signings for any month in data going back to 2008. Property tax bills going out this month reveal the carnage caused by the pandemic on New York City's commercial real estate market. Property owners saw the value of their buildings drop. The lower assessments provide tax relief, but they're also a reminder of the damage done to commercial buildings as COVID-19 emptied out Manhattan. New York State lawmakers have passed a bill that would allow civil lawsuits against firearm manufacturers and dealers who make or sell guns illegally or inappropriately. Under federal law, they retain far-reaching immunity. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Burger King sees significant inflation in beef, mayo, and bacon.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Best Buy is following other major retailers in closing on Thanksgiving.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've got live reporting from Cornwall on the Biden-Johnson meeting today ahead of the G7 summit.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WGY in Albany, I'm reporting on IBM ordering U.S. workers back to offices in September.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Michigan residents' claims against 3M and Wolverine Worldwide regarding PFAS contamination will continue.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Wall Street's top regulator is calling for a broad-based review of the rules that underpin trading in the U.S. equities market. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
SEC Chair Gary Gensler has asked the agency's staff to examine issues relating to stock trading, including so-called best execution requirements. He also says the stock trade settlement process could be shortened to the same day. Market trading rules have come under scrutiny amid wild swings in meme stocks such as GameStop and AMC Entertainment Holdings. While Gensler didn't mention them by name, he directed some of his most pointed comments to market makers like Citadel Securities and Virtu Financial. Gensler's remarks came in a speech at the Piper Sandler Global Exchange and FinTech Conference. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. The 16-year battle to build the Keystone Oil Pipeline is dead. Canada's TC Energy has dropped the controversial cross-border project. It became a litmus test for climate activism and was blocked by President Biden. Keystone was designed to ferry more than 800,000 barrels of Canadian oil sands crude a day from Alberta to Nebraska. And Bloomberg News has learned United Airlines is in advanced talks to buy at least 100 Boeing 737 MAX jetliners. It would be part of a broader fleet revamp. United sees it as a chance to upgrade at a time when Boeing and Airbus are hungry for deals. S&P futures up 2.5 points now. Dow futures up 54. NASDAQ futures still lower by 27.5. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly sunny, low 80s today, low 70s tomorrow, upper 70s, partly sunny for Saturday. Currently 77 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and government bonds are steady ahead of a U.S. inflation report that may provide clues on the monetary policy outlook. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're little changed, up less than 2 points. Dow futures up 48 and NASDAQ futures down 33. The DAX in Germany, little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 3 cents at $69.99 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $13 at $18.82.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2164 against the dollar, British pound 1.4097, and the yen's at 109.51. Checking Bitcoin at $37,250. And the Consumer Price Index at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the weekly report on initial jobless claims. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, President Biden will meet with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson for the first time ahead of the Group of Seven summit. Bloomberg has seen a draft memo showing the leaders committing to 1 billion extra doses of vaccines. The Biden administration is expecting a new infrastructure proposal this week from a bipartisan group of lawmakers. The group has already decided against using tax increases to pay for the infrastructure plan. The Texas Bar Association is investigating State Attorney General Ken Paxton. They're going to consider whether Paxton made false or misleading statements when he contested the presidential election results in 4 other states. In sports, the Islanders beat the Bruins to advance to the Stanley Cup playoffs, or rather in the semifinals. In the NBA playoffs, Phoenix wins. The Nets and Bucks play tonight. And in baseball, the Mets beat the O's. The Yankees and Nats win. And the Giants and Red Sox lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries.
I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak as President Biden gets set for his first full day in Cornwall, England, ahead of this weekend's G7 summit. Joining us live this morning, Wendy Schiller, chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University. Great to speak with you this morning, Professor Schiller. And of course, President Biden has set quite a few expectations ahead of the G7, already coming out with rebukes of Russia and this major announcement just this morning that the U.S. will donate a half billion vaccine doses to the world's poorest countries. How does this set the stage for the president as he tries to bring the U.S. back to the global arena?
Well, I mean, I think he's got a lot of credibility on foreign policy. He made that one of his specialties when he was a United States senator. President Obama gave him a pretty big portfolio when he was vice president. So I think he walks in the door with credibility. But, you know, the world has seen the United States go through a great deal politically and have a very different regime between Trump and Obama. And Trump pulled out a lot of international agreements. And he, you know, he used to go to these summits, too, but with a very sort of different demeanor and sort of level of experience. So, you know, they're wary, right? They look at the United States and say, well, you've got another presidential election in 2024. You know, what guarantees do we have that any of the agreements we strike with you will stick? And that's something that we haven't really experienced with Europe in particular before. You've got the sort of Russia aggression, obviously, in Ukraine, and you've got the Chinese. You know, the Chinese have been busy while we've been withdrawing. The Chinese, particularly economically, have been busy all over the world. And so, the first step, I think, for Biden is economic resurgence. In other words, as the U.S. economy comes full score back after COVID, how do we use that economic power to counter China's economic power and remind the world that when we want to rally, we can do things, you know, that nobody else can? I think that's got to be his message to European leaders. Really trust us. Even if you only trust us for the next couple of years, we still can rally in a way that we've shown, particularly on COVID, that you'll need us. And we want to be there for you.
What kind of message are you expecting the president to send as he gets ready to meet today for the first time with the leader of the host country, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson? Obviously, two very different leaders and potentially a very different dynamic compared to Boris Johnson and former President Trump.
Well, you know, the interesting thing in terms of that meeting is the impact of Brexit, which, you know, Europe hasn't really felt yet and England hasn't really felt yet because right when that was being implemented, the pandemic hit. So everybody's been on lockdown, right? And so, you know, I think that's the question mark. What are the trade implications? You know, there are enormous trade implications. There are enormous financial implications, the movement of money, for example. I mean, there's a lot riding on how England responds to Brexit. You know, what they do and what do other European capitals do? And so that to me in terms of trade would be the thing that I think Biden should focus on, and also preserving NATO. You know, how do you restore those connections with confidence that may have been frayed in the last couple of years?
That's something that the president, I think, even during his campaign was saying that what he wanted to be a focus of his presidency to sort of reestablish those ties. What is the challenge for this president to bring the U.S., as Biden might see it, back to a more traditional role and a traditional stand with Europe?
Well, Nathan, I think he's got two challenges. One is that the American public, you know, got really tired of wars, right? We had two extraordinarily long military conflicts with Iraq and Afghanistan, and, you know, a real reluctance to go into anything else and do anything else abroad. And I think that's still there in America, you know, coming out of COVID and epidemic and just really trying to get back on our feet. I don't think there's a lot of support for committing to major military intervention anywhere around the world. So how can you walk into a room and say to people, yes, we're going to be there militarily, even with Afghanistan now, and then really not have the American people's support to do that? And I think the Republicans will continue the Trump message of America first. You know, we don't want to go abroad. That's a hard line to walk, to make promises that you just don't know the public support is there to keep in domestically.
Our last minute here, Professor. The president has said that what he wants to show through this trip is that democracies can continue to deliver for their people. What kind of deliverables should we be looking for, do you think, that will make a difference?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, personal safety. And so that's the big issue now is, again, now the lockdown is done, you know, what are the threats from terrorism? Domestic terrorism in the United States, for example, has become, and gun violence are two things that, you know, at the moment with gun violence, Europe doesn't face. So walking into a room and saying, we know how to keep people safe, I think is a harder sell for the United States than it was a couple of years ago. And I don't know what the president says about that, but clearly that's going to emerge again as a significant problem. And intelligence sharing, which, you know, most countries stopped doing with the United States under the Trump administration in a meaningful way for fear of security leaks, that's going to have to get restored too. And I don't think they're going to do that, you know, quickly without caution.
Thanks for this, Professor. Great having you back on with us this morning. That is Wendy Schiller. She's the chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University. Karen?
Nathan, it's 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Today we're looking at the Biden administration continuing to defend former President Donald Trump in a defamation lawsuit. It comes as a surprise to many legal experts. The Justice Department submitted a filing to a New York federal appeals court strongly backing Trump's claim that calling columnist E. Jean Carroll a liar after she accused him of raping her in the 90s was an official act shielded from lawsuit. For more on the issue, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson.
Why did the Trump administration and now the Biden administration say this defamation lawsuit should fall under the Westfall law, which shields government employees from suit?
So the Trump administration argued that when E. Jean Carroll accused him in 2019 of raping her of 2 decades ago and then defaming Carroll by denying it, the government argued that the president should be removed from the lawsuit and that the United States government should be the defendant in the case instead, because under the Westfall Act, they argued, Trump was carrying out a presidential duty of some sort by denying the claims made by E. Jean Carroll. And if the government is substituted for Trump, then essentially the case is over. The case is dismissed because you can't sue the government for defamation.
So this was litigated. Tell us what the lower court judge decided in the case.
So in October, the federal court judge in Manhattan disagreed with the Trump administration and ruled in favor of E. Jean Carroll and said that Trump was not carrying out a presidential duty when he denied her allegations and essentially accused her of lying. There's an appeal underway. The appeal was filed before President Biden was elected. So when he won, the judge said, well, let's wait and see what the Biden administration has to say about whether or not the Westfall Act applies to this case. So everyone in the case was just waiting to see what Merrick Garland's DOJ would say. And this was sort of a surprise when they came out with the exact same argument that the Trump administration had.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures, little change this morning, up 2 points. Dow futures up 60. And NASDAQ futures are lower, down 35. The DAX in Germany is little change this morning. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.49%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.